Hi everyone, welcome to our Sunday morning gathering, welcome to our church family and welcome to our guests and visitors. We know we have lots of guests who join us for these Sunday morning online gatherings. You are all most welcome, and welcome to kids as well. If you, I know you've just had kids church, kids, SDC Kids Church. If you're still in the room, hi, say hi Mick. Hi Mick, great to see you. If you're not in the room, you're probably off drawing on the walls somewhere or raiding the fridge. just relax, parents. So welcome to you all, and welcome to the month of July. Yes, it's July. How do I know? It's summer. Look out of the window. Look at the weather we've had for the past week. Perfect English summer weather. The summer's just floating by, isn't it? And well, welcome. And you may remember that at the beginning of June, we started a new sermon series called The Beautiful Life here at our online gatherings. And this beautiful life goes deeper into the better life that Jesus calls us to. And this is our vision at SDC this year. Join us for the better life. And Casey began this teaching. It's the teaching from the great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6 and 7. And Casey began Matthew chapter 5 with the Beatitudes. The beautiful attitudes, these characteristics of God that God wants us to start to live out in our lives. And Casey said that it looks great on paper, but it's really impossible to do, it seems, unless you've got God in your life. Then we looked at teaching on how our lives can make a difference. You remember salt and light teaching? And then we heard Bryony pose that really challenging question. What's really important? What really matters in your life? Very challenging. Last week was Alan and Jesus' encouragement to don't be anxious, don't worry, be happy, seek first God's kingdom, his beautiful life, and all these blessings of God will come into your life. Two more after today. We've got, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to look at the whole thing of confidence, how we can have a confidence in our lives from God. Next week, Tom on guidance, which road do I take? And so as a springboard into those next 2 weeks and building on what's gone in the past, today we ask the question, this question, just ask God. Seems obvious, doesn't it? But actually, it's something we don't do very often as Christians. Ask God. Well, we're British, aren't we? We don't like to bother God with our things. He's busy doing global things. God, it's no time for me. But actually, it's one of the real foundations of our Christian walk is to ask God daily. Ask him for what? Well, that's what we're going to come to now in this teaching. Now, a little bit of context, Sermon on the Mount. Halfway through his ministry, Jesus, we're still 18 months away from the events of the cross, Calvary and the resurrection. But Jesus gathers these people as he's been going around Galilee and the regions. He gathers them on a hillside. May have been the autumn time, some scholars believe. Weather may have been turning a little bit. Gathers this crowd with his teaching, Sermon on the Mount. Now, when Jesus teaches people in the New Testament, primarily he's teaching the disciples, his apprentices. Other people are on the edge, yes, but he wants the disciples to hear this teaching of the new kingdom. Because after the teaching, he then takes them to one side around a campfire on the road. And they ask, Lord, we didn't understand that teaching. What did you mean by this and that? And he'll explain again. So what's happening is he teaches them and then he huddles them. He disciples them. He teaches and he disciples. And that's what we've sought to do here at SDC over many years too. The teaching is then brought down to a discipleship level as we've trained our leaders and huddled our people. Because we're trying to follow what Jesus has taught us to do. And so this is the great sermon that Jesus is teaching here. And so he's just taught about don't be anxious, but be happy. God's in your life. And then he speaks these words. This is Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. These are the words he says next. And these will appear on the screen right now. This is from the NIV version of the Bible, which says this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So what is Jesus saying here? Well, let's just unpack this passage a little, quite simply here now. Verses 7 and 8, he's saying, this will appear on the screen, three things. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Now, this passage in the New Testament, as you may well know, is written in Greek. And grammatically in the Greek, this is called the present imperative. The present imperative. Who says we don't do deep teaching here at STC Sheffield? What does that mean? It means this. You don't just do it once. You keep on doing it constantly. Don't just stop after once or twice. Keep on doing it. Keep asking. Keep seeking God. Keep knocking on the door of heaven. And Jesus is trying to teach his disciples something here, which is this. He says, be intentional. Be intentional. It's one of the great marks of a disciple, if not the greatest mark of a disciple. Be intentional. Be persistent. You will often see in the Gospels and in the New Testament as a whole, this sense of being persistent in prayer. Why? Because Jesus knows we get fed up. We get disappointed. We get seemingly no answers to our prayers. We don't get the breakthroughs we long for, and therefore we stop. It tails off. And he says, no, at that moment you feel like stopping. Don't. Be intentional. That's when you need to ask again. That's when you need to seek God with all your heart and knock on the door of heaven. Be persistent. I just wonder at this point, is there anything you know you stop asking God for or seeking God for or knocking on the door of heaven? Don't let disappointment get in the way. I've said many times over the years, I banned that word from my vocabulary many, many years ago. I will not be disappointed because God has a new appointment for me. A disappointment is a route into a new appointment. So where do you need to ask and to seek and to knock on the door of heaven? That's what Jesus is saying here. But then he goes on to say something else. He says in verses 9 and 10 this. He said that it's about the goodness of God, that God is good and that God has good gifts for his children. Every day God has good gifts for you and for me. It's good. It's important we realize that. Now, what are these good gifts? Well, they're gifts that come from our Father. Why? Because it's in his nature. He's God. He's our Father. He loves us. He wants to give us these good things. In Luke's account of this same passage, he's more specific. Luke says this, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So these gifts are summarized in the greatest of the good gifts, which is the Holy Spirit. It's so important we understand this because it means the divine nature of God is in each of us. The life of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, just waiting to be released every day. And the Holy Spirit gives this to us as individuals and as corporate, as the church. He gives us, therefore, this divine appetite for more of God, for the impossible. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever have that sense of, I want more from God? I want to see God work even more. I've got this appetite. I'm not satisfied with kind of a bit of cheese and crackers that's on offer constantly. And the church has been so guilty of that over many, many years, just offering little tidbits to the people. When God says, wait, I've got a heavenly banquet ready for everyone. Come on, get hungry for more of me. Get some real passion for more of God in our life. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And this is what we're to ask for and seek and knock on the door of heaven for every day in our prayers. More of this divine nature in our life. And the greatest of all the good gifts, the Holy Spirit. Let me just say something about the Holy Spirit here. We prayed on Pentecost Sunday for the Spirit to break out. What does the Spirit do, this great gift? Well, number one, he searches for the heavenly resources that you need in your life. You see, the Holy Spirit is the great search engine, way more than Google or anything else. He is searching all the time for the resources you need in your life. What are the resources? Well, here we are. Here's the visual aid for today. I love a visual aid in these online Bible messages. It's this. It's fruit. He searches for the fruit. Paul talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. All these attributes of God. All here. And he's searching for them so we can take them. This is the fourth take of this video, so I've already had four of my five a day. Top tip, don't eat a grape when you're trying to teach someone. Here's the fruit that God wants for us to have in our life. So the Spirit's job is to search for that. And then secondly, the Spirit's job is then to release these resources exactly when we need them. Not a moment before, not a moment after. So when I need more patience, he releases it. When I need more joy in my life, I'm feeling down, he releases it. All I have to do is ask and seek and knock on the door of heaven. That's what the Spirit does. And do you know this, the third thing about the Spirit? The Spirit is constantly thinking about you. He's waiting for you. He's listening to you. He's encouraging you. Those little encouragements, that's the Spirit. And he's naming you before God every moment of every day. Your name, he takes to Jesus, who's at the right hand of the Father now. He's talking about you. He's bringing your name to God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And then when he does that, fourthly, he opens up new ideas and new opportunities and new initiatives in you. And that's one of the beautiful things about this church we've seen over the years, Trish and I. These fantastic initiatives which have just come out of the people of God, of the Holy Spirit's moved. And the big things like the work with the homeless and food bank and work with the poor and this amazing work with students and young people, which is this church is just been blessed so much by. But the little things like taking homemade buns and cakes and cookies to work and blessing your workplace and your office. Don't start a list because there's so many of them. It's such a blessing to us as leaders to see that happen. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is exciting. He's loving. He's compassionate. And the Spirit is the spirit of change and adventure. And I've said many times before, haven't I? Christianity, if it's nothing else, is an adventure. If it's not an adventure, it's not Christianity. It's religious something else. It's people dressing up, doing boring things. Christianity should be an adventure. And SDC is an adventurous church. And never lose that sense of adventure, of stepping out slightly into the unknown. I was saying to somebody recently, the staff we've had here, we've had loads of staff here. I started when Trish and I started with four staff. But in our time here, we think it's about 118 staff. How have we got those staff? We've given them offered them a job even before we had the money, because we felt God was saying that. It's an adventure, it's risk. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot there in verses 9 and 10. So Jesus says, ask, seek and knock. He's saying, ask for the Holy Spirit in your life, this greatest of gift. And then he says, sums it up in the golden rule. It's called the golden rule, verse 12. And he said, this is the summary of the whole of his teaching and in the great sermon, but the whole of the teaching of Jesus generally. And he starts by saying this in verse 12, a little Greek phrase at the beginning, in everything. And what that means is this. It means in the Greek, in everything. Everything I've taught up to now and everything I'm going to teach in the future, all that is summed up in this, which is this. Treat people the same way you want people to treat you. If you do that, that's God's law. Well, it's a little bit simple, that Mick, isn't it? Yeah, but that's what Jesus had just said. Treat people the same way you would want them to treat you. That's what God wants. Remember the great commandment? Love God and love your neighbour. Simple as that. You see, it's not that hard, isn't it? We've just made it complicated. Because when that happens, heavenly goodness releases earthly kindness. When we start to live this way, there's a heavenly goodness is poured out. And through us, it releases kindness on the earth. And we know the Bible says that the kindness of God leads to repentance. People turn back to God through kindness. This is what we are supposed to do. And we are supposed to imitate Jesus, because this is his life. This is how he lived. We know that Jesus is good. No dispute. So as his apprentices, we model ourselves on the master and we're good. We seek to live a good life. Jesus is kind. We seek to be kind to people. Jesus is generous. We seek to the extent of giving his life away. We are to be generous with people. And if we live this way, something starts to happen. Something starts to happen quite radically. For example, the scourge of racism ends when we start to live this way. We treat people in a right way. We don't discriminate because of the colour of their skin or where they were born or where they were from. It stops. It stops as quickly and as simple as that. It's a supernatural thing, you see. Also, the disgrace of hungry children in our nation, not in the so-called third world, that comes to an end. It has to. It's a disgrace that children particularly are hungry. Anybody's hungry in our nation. It's great what food banks do, but we shouldn't really have them, should we? We've said that before. Why does all this? Because the kingdom of God comes. We treat people in a right way. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. He's our master. We imitate him as his disciples. How do we do that? We ask, seek, knock on the door of heaven for the Holy Spirit every day to help us live this way. That's it in a nutshell, dear friends. That's the teaching Jesus is saying. Now, final thing. This is a personal thing. It's for us in our lives, quite rightly so as well. But we'd be remiss if we didn't say there was a corporate element to this as well. There's a challenge here for us as a church. And I've heard many times this sermon preached, and it's about you, and God wants to change you and ask for things you need in your life, and you need more peace, and you need that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it stops there in lots of teaching, and it's wrong, because there's a powerful message for us as church here, because it's not all about me. It's not all about us as individuals. It's about us also as a community. Now, here is, I just want to finish with this. After this one, I've got two more Bible messages. My last Bible message is on the 26th July. Then I'm done. That's my last message to the church as leader. So I want to say this. Three quick things about how this teaching can speak to us as a church family. Number one, we ask God, we seek God, we knock on the door of heaven for this. God, help us to make disciples. In other words, raise up biblical disciples and not cultural Christians, because the latter sit in churches, generally bored. But the former, biblical disciples, change the world. They change the world. Disciples make connections, people of peace, colleagues, friends. They make connections. They get to know them. They befriend them. And then what happens is those connections become converts as people are invited onto Alpha or come to church or to cluster or to cell group or wherever it is. And then those converts become disciples and they start to live the life of Jesus. How? Because they're modeled by your life. Trisha and I became Christians through these friends of ours, and we listened to them, we went round for dinner, we watched them, we asked them questions. And so Christianity is caught more than taught. It wasn't from the pulpit I learnt everything, we learnt everything. It's with sitting down with our friends. So a good question is, who is that for me? Who am I discipling? Who's coming around for dinner? Who's looking at my life? Who's looking at our life? Good question to ask in cell group, actually. Who are we as a group? Are we looking to disciple and raise up? So, Lord, number one, at SDC, make disciples. Number two, Lord, help us make more disciples. You see, we need to continually build a discipleship culture in the church. And we have done. We may not think we're very good at it, but we are. People have come from all over the world to this church to see, how do you guys do this? And it's so important because Jesus spent 3 years of his precious short life doing this, didn't he? He knew it was vital, getting this DNA of the new kingdom, the new beautiful life into his disciples. And they passed it on to others and others and others. And eventually it came to us here 2,000 years later, SDC. Because they did that, we're here now doing this. So it's so important we get these values and this lifestyle. Now, Sunday gatherings and organization of the church and training and finance, all still needed because they are so vital a resource to help us grow this discipleship culture at SDC. So Lord, help us make disciples, help us make more disciples, and finally, Lord, help us release disciples. We have an active faith, not a static faith. You can't build a discipleship movement and be seen put in a church building all the time. You have to be moving, and there's a tension here between Acts 2, that they were all they met in each other's homes, the community, and then the tension between that and mission in Matthew 28, going to all the world. But you know what? Again, this church does it fantastically well. Fantastically well. This tension between community and mission. Missional communities actually work. Now, final point. When I was, somebody reminded me that last Wednesday, 1st of July, it's our eldest daughter's birthday. We had a great time. But it was also the 30th anniversary, 30 years ago, I was ordained as a minister, a vicar in the Church of England. I forgot all about it. I really had forgotten all about it. So much happening at the moment. But it reminded me, Trish and I were reflecting a little bit. When I first became a vicar and then was trained, I was not trained in building a discipleship culture. I was trained then, changed a bit, not too much. Vicars basically do services, preach sermons, and look after, they kind of chaplains to the people. And it really doesn't grow the kingdom of God at all. I wasn't trained to do the discipling stuff. And then we realized it's not the way to do it. This is the way. Discipleship is the way. And then Trish and I poured everything into it. We invited people around. We've been in six homes in ministry. We've moved around. And every time, chicken casserole, French bread, one of Trish's great desserts, loads of people, hundreds of people we've had around. Tell us about your life. Can we share our faith story with you? And off we go. And we've had the privilege of hundreds of people being in our home and seeing Jesus come into their lives. It's been amazing. So SDC, dear SDC, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking on the door. Treat people in the right way and ask God, Lord, make disciples, make more disciples, and let's release them and see this great adventure continue. I have finished. I am going to pray for us now for the Holy Spirit to come. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. Come upon us, Lord. Show us how we can give thanks for all you've done in the past. But let us see this teaching in a new way right now. I am not stuck in a rut. We are ready to go. Jesus, we're knocking on the door of heaven. We're asking you, we're seeking you with all our hearts. The time for a new adventure has come. And we thank you, Lord God, with all our hearts. Bless SDC and bless us all this day. Amen. Amen.